Whenever you're ready, Lorraine.
Today I'm at the Wrigley Marine Science Center on the remote west end of Catalina Island.
30 seconds.
And I'm about to take a dive.
15.
Down to a depth of 60 feet.
6, 5, 4, 3.
Without ever leaving the surface. I'm inside the USC Catalina Hyperbaric Chamber, one of only a handful of chambers in the country dedicated to treating scuba divers.
The chamber is basically a big tank that you put air in to increase the pressure inside.
That's Carl Huggins. He's the director of the chamber program.
What happens then is it simulates the pressure you'd see by going underwater.
There are other hyperbaric chambers in Southern California, but none of them is open outside of normal business hours, which is when dive accidents are most likely to happen. So if a diver blacks out on a Saturday,
classic air embolism,
or notices a marbled rash on their skin on a Monday at midnight,
it's called cutaneous decompression sickness.
It's Carl's job to make sure the chamber is ready to treat them 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. But today, he's also my dive buddy. Kind of.
So when we talk about diving in the chamber, we're not taking people underwater in the chamber. We're not adding water to the chamber. We're just increasing the pressure of air so that the pressure is equivalent to a certain depth.
Each year, 15 to 20 divers are brought into the chamber for evaluation and treatment. The rest of the time, the chamber is used for education dives, which is what we're doing today. Inside the chamber, it's getting hot. At 40 feet, the temperature is over 80 degrees. The air tastes metallic, and there's a heavy pressure on my ears. Carl and I have to wiggle our jaws to equalize the pressure. A dive in the chamber creates some of the same conditions that divers experience in open water, the same ones that cause air embolisms and decompression sickness, or the bends, as it's more commonly known. It seems counterintuitive, but re-exposing divers to this environment is actually the best way to treat them. The reason is that both conditions are caused by what happens inside the body when it ascends too quickly. By repressurizing the diver and then making a slow, controlled ascent inside the chamber, Carl and his team are able to treat these conditions quickly and easily. Which is important, because you can die from this stuff. But here's the crazy thing. Most people never seek treatment. Carl tells me about this one time in the Galapagos.
I was in the Galapagos. I came up after a dive, and my buddy, who I'd just been buddied up with on the boat, came up and get onto this little panga to head back to the main boat. And I turn around, and he's completely unconscious. I'm thinking, you know, air embolism. Get the boat driver to get us back to the boat. We get him on oxygen. And so after about 20 minutes on oxygen, the guy starts coming around. And the first thing he says is, I can't see.
Eventually, the guy's sight came back, and Carl explained that he needed to get to a chamber. But the guy refused. Instead of leaving to get treatment, the guy insisted on staying and diving.
And why do you think that is?
One of the things is that there's this whole thing of denial. The other thing is that there still is, although there shouldn't be, a stigma associated with somebody getting decompression sickness. And that is, if you've gotten the bends, that means you've done something wrong, which isn't the case.
57, 58, 59, 60.
The chamber can go as deep as 165 feet, but today, 60 feet is our limit. There's a tingling sensation in my lips. Carl feels it in his fingers. It's over 95 degrees in the chamber. Carl tells me to wave my arms. I can really feel it. The pressure at 60 feet is almost 3 times the pressure outside. It's made the air feel thick and constricted my vocal cords. I'm swinging my arms back and forth with my fingers spread wide, and it feels like being in a swimming pool. It's also gotten me completely drunk.
Under pressure, nitrogen becomes an intoxicant, what's called nitrogen narcosis. There's something called Martini's Law in diving, which says every 33 to 50 feet is equal to about a martini's worth of intoxication.
At 60 feet, I feel like I've had 2. Achieving this feeling is one of the primary goals of these education dives. At depth, your mental processes slow down and you run the risk of making potentially deadly mistakes. Allowing divers to experience narcosis within the safety of the chamber can better equip them to recognize the feeling. So if they ever experience it in the water, they'll know it's time to move to a shallower depth. Carl wipes a bead of sweat from under his glasses and grabs a dive computer to show me. We've been in the chamber for 9 minutes. It's time for us to ascend.
Are you messing up, Lorraine?
Lorraine vents the chamber and the temperature drops instantly. We're about to begin our ascent. At depth, our bodies are full of dissolved nitrogen. If we were to ascend quickly, both Carl and I would risk developing the same conditions the chamber is used to treat. This measured ascent is what cures sick divers and makes the exercise safe for us. As we approach 50 feet, the chamber fills with fog. Carl explains that the air has dropped below its dew point, clouding our view with white vapor. This particular fog, he says, is a combination of the moisture in the air and our sweat. The narcosis wears off as the pressure decreases, and by 20 feet, I'm sober. Like a can of soda left out overnight, the nitrogen bubbles in our blood have had time to dissipate. The dive ends and we exit the chamber, safe and sober. I feel like we've been through a thing, like we're drinking buddies. But for Carl, this is just another day at the office. For KISL and the Transom Traveling Workshop, I'm Emma Cortland.